Hello and welcome to Something Awesome, where I am here with Mike, and Mike is here with me, and we are here with you. And today, we got a fucking show for you today.
Rick shot out of a cannon today. Let's go.
I am hyped and ready to go. All right. Caffeine.
I've got three drinks.
You got three drinks. That's like, there was this TikTok where it says that people with ADHD usually have three drinks with at all times.
I mean, I'm not ever going to deny. I never was diagnosed, but I'd never deny that I have ADHD.
Sorry for the noise. I had to adjust this. My gamer chair.
Yeah.
All right. I might have to get a new one.
Already?
Yeah. It's comfortable, but it's not that comfortable.
Yeah.
For long periods of time.
Gotcha.
So, I totally forgot we're...
It's okay. Dude, that's perfect.
But yeah, we're here today. We talk about a very particular movie with very particular set of skills.
Yeah. So we talked about the View Askew movies and we ranked them and all that. We talked about Clerks 3 recently. And
true.
We both said, man, it's crazy that Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson weren't in more things. Because they're so good as actors in all those Kevin Smith movies. Even in Clerks, when they're just kind of getting their feet wet, there's like just an air of earnestness and reality to their delivery and their characters. So the movie we're talking about today is a movie that's not only written by, directed by, it also stars Jeff Anderson, better known as Randall Graves. And it's called Now You Know. And it was shot in like 2002. And there's some fucking big names in it that he was able to get. And he said that he didn't have I think he said in the intro that he did not have like a literary agent. All he had was like an acting, a film agent. And he read the script that Jeff Anderson had. I'm gonna do that a lot, by the way, because the character in this movie that he plays is very Randall, also. So the script that Jeff Anderson wrote, his agent had read it and was like, do you mind if I send this out? And they had people like that optioned it at one point and then let it go and then brought it back. And he ended up making this movie for like, I think he said $350,000.
Something like that, yeah.
Which it's full color. And in 2002, $350,000 ain't shit to make a movie. But yeah, the movie's called Now You Know. And it's hard to track down physically. You can't find it anywhere streaming. Even on certain sites that you may be able to watch movies on that you can find everything on, you can't find this movie anywhere. So I actually bought a copy of the DVD when we were recording. The Clerks one. Yeah, I bought it. We've been sitting on this one for a while, but Rick had to watch it, and then I wanted to rewatch it because I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's kind of get on into it, man.
Story goes here, on the eve of a bachelor party, a man learns his fiance wants to call off the wedding, and the unmarried couple return to New Jersey to sort out their relationship.
Yes.
That's how it starts. It starts off with the bachelor party in the beginning with everyone kind of like, it's a perspective, like the camera's the Randall
first
character,
person,
first person
yeah.
perspective of it. And just kind of getting congratulated by every single person when the wedding was called off.
I think it's funny that, so the lead is played by Jeremy Sisto, who you guys may know from Clueless and many, many other things. Dude's a good actor. I'm a fan of his.
It took me a long fucking time to figure out where I knew this guy from.
Really?
Like, I know this guy. Where have I seen him? And then like right at the tail end of the movie, I'm like, Clueless.
Yeah. The woman that plays the fiance is Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones is in this.
Very young, very new Rashida Jones. And that, man, does that show itself in this movie. So I think it's funny that, I don't know if it was laziness or what, but Jeremy Sisto's character is just named Jeremy.
That's right.
It's like, all right, okay. But so this is where Kevin Smith saw Trevor Furman,
right?
Because he's in this movie as well, and he basically plays a similar character to his character in Clerks 2. Little less goody-goody, but similar style of character. And yeah, so that's where he, because Kevin Smith helped, he didn't produce this, but it says presented by, because he helped him get distribution for it after it was done. A buddy of mine, Dave Lowe, he's got a YouTube channel called the 4K Lowdown, which you guys should check out. And every week him and his buddy Rich, they watch 5 movies and then they score them. And it's like 1 out of 10 score for cinematography, cast, script, acting. Like, so there's 10 categories and they score out 1 out of 10. So
that's interesting.
And it's really funny because, like, I don't think I could break things down that way. It's because we've always said, like, you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
And
I think what we put it is like, go see it, rent it, or
skip it.
Skip it, pretty much. but yeah, at the same time, like when we did the other show, like it was more like, this was our opinion. This is what we think.
Right.
You know, if you like this kind of stuff, you might like this movie, or you might dislike this movie. Well, we're really not to like the ratings part. Right.
Yeah.
But
it's funny. So I've been watching Dave do his thing recently because they live stream it on YouTube and on the Facebook page and stuff like that. So I've been watching it. They do it on Mondays and Wednesdays and watching it. I'm like, huh. And then it makes me think, because when they do movies that I've seen, I'm like, what would I give those things? And so then, like, recently I've been getting caught up into that scoring thing. So I almost just gave this movie a score when you said,
you can if you
want. But I don't want to do that because I don't know.
As I get older, the more and more I like to drive away from scores.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's like, what's that word where
it's fucking arbitrary.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, it depends on the person and what they like. Like you can do that, like with Rotten Tomatoes and whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, like, it's really all up to you. Like, here's the info, here's the facts, what we liked.
And I think that's what makes...
That's what you take away from.
I think that's what makes what Dave and his buddy Rich do so cool, is that, you know, they have very similar opinions, but they also have very differing opinions. So, like, one movie, Dave will give a score of, like, a 91, and Rich will be like, this is, like, a 79. Like, so it's really... And I think that's the fun part, and that's one of the things that, you know, we've always loved doing on this podcast and the previous podcast, is having conversations and why are we that far apart about things. So, roundabout way of saying, go check out Dave's YouTube, the 4K Lowdown. I'll make sure we'll close the link in there. But it's really fun watch. So I almost gave this movie a score, but then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I like this movie. This is a first script. This is a first time director. This is a first movie period that he's running, and
a lot of work.
We talked about it with in the View Askew rankings with Clerks, when we talked about the first Clerks and how it's like very rarely do you see somebody have a first movie that's that good, like that, and not necessarily like, oh, it's the greatest script ever with the greatest actors. It's super technically proficient. Like, it's,
it hits the mark where the mark needs to be hit.
You might come away from it and think everything about Clerks is completely average. But at the same time, it was the first time that dude decided to pick up a camera and be a director and write a script and stuff like that. And we talked about that on the previous podcast about friend of the show Ryan O'Leary and his movie The Backseat. Like, you very rarely see a first go be that proficient. And I feel like you see the same thing with this movie with Jeff Anderson. It's like, there's nothing wrong with this movie with the exception of a few like line deliveries. And it's like, why didn't you get another take? And then you realize, oh, they shot this for 350 grand probably over the course of like a week, maybe, because they probably were on a time crunch to get it out to make that money make sense. But yeah, other than like a few line deliveries here and there, specifically the bachelor party scene at the very beginning, once you get past that though,
yeah,
it's everything is smooth sailing and really solid. So I really enjoy this movie. With all warts and all, I fucking really like this movie, you know?
Yeah, now you know, I enjoyed the movie. Like, I liked what it was. I liked the story of it.
Yeah.
Like, it had me thinking like, okay, like what's the reason why? What's the reason why? So it had me there. Trevor Furman, who plays
Biscuit,
which I fucking love that name.
Yeah,
like I want a friend named Biscuit, which is the same thing Kevin Smith says in the intro.
Yeah, he said he knew a Biscuit in high school,
or knew a Biscuit.
And
yeah. Jeff
goes, yeah, so did I. And like slipped here. I'm thinking this Biscuit is based on the same Biscuit that they both knew.
Yeah, that makes sense now. Yeah,
and like they kind of talk about how there was a lot of people that came in that had the right look for a character that you would name Biscuit. But none of them had the ability that Trevor Furman had. So even though he didn't look the part, he was able to play the part the way they wanted, and that's why they picked him.
And it was a good pick. It was a good casting choice, because like from what you were telling me in the car earlier, we had stopped talking about.
Yeah, we were both like, shut up.
Like he's supposed to be this like douchey
kind of a person, kind of a jerk off like
prick.
Yeah,
but like he doesn't come off of that. I almost kind of feel like if it's me trying to be an asshole,
right?
In a sense, oh god, am I Biscuit?
No, I think theoretically, I'm Biscuit.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine if you were playing me.
Yeah. Oh god, that would not work.
But that's what Trevor Furman playing Biscuit is like.
But at the same time, like he pulls it off. He has the acting chops. He pulls it off, and I love that character.
Yeah. Oh, he's so endearing.
Beginning is good, like funny, like Kevin Smith and his wife is in it.
His wife
plays a hooker.
Yeah.
God. Production value of it was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Especially for the cost of how much it cost, right? And you know the time they made it.
I gotta say the only scene that feels out of place is the bachelor party scene, but that's supposed to be shot on it. Looked like it's shot on a handheld, which it does. But after that. Everything looks like a movie.
I agree with that. Everything looks
like a movie.
The beginning part was a little rough there. But like everything after that felt like a full-on production movie. I mean, well, it was a production movie.
Right. But I think it's important to keep hammering that home. Is like this was like dude's first shot at it. You know?
Shows like how much we could have like gotten out of Jeff Anderson.
If he wasn't so jaded from the business aspect of Hollywood because of what happened.
I totally understand. Yeah. Like Hollywood's a fucking cesspool. Sometimes, you know, you just got to find the right people, AKA Ryan O'Leary. Yep. and a few others out there too, who have been on our previous shows. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what else he could have made. But at the same time, like overall, like I enjoyed the movie. I liked it a lot. It's dated, which is
for sure.
It's really dated.
Yeah,
and I'm saying that's like a bad thing.
No,
it was kind of difficult.
Yeah,
you know, but being a movie lover, I'm gonna watch it.
I will say though that if we're talking about the same stuff, none of it was really treated. I think that's a hallmark of. Like Kevin's movies,
like you'd say that's disgusting, and yeah, it is disgusting. Right. Some of those things,
but it was all treated pretty fairly. You know what I mean? Like nothing is egregiously bad or cringy in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the exception of, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say. Oh, I was actually gonna comment on the one of the sets, which was the bar.
Oh yeah.
I think it was the first bar they go to.
Like, yeah.
That was one. Part where I felt like this looks like a basement,
right? And they just
try to make it together. Global. Yeah,
who knows? That might have been a real bar. Who knows?
I mean, if it was cool, because then that'd feel very comfy bar, comfy vibe bar.
Yeah,
but yeah, that definitely watching. I'm like, oh my god, this looks like a basement. Mm-hmm. Like right around the corner is probably the stairs going upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. So overall, you liked it?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay,
it was good. I enjoyed it.
I figured you would, given the subject matter. Like this is a Rick ass Rick movie.
It is a Rick ass Rick movie. I was gonna make a scale of Rick ass Rick movies.
You need to do that.
Should I do that?
Like, yeah, that's an episode.
Oh god,
that's an episode.
I'm gonna do that because we did say that a lot in previous podcasts, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, a Rick movie is not necessarily. We always used to classify them as like depressed fest, but not all of them are depressing.
Not all of them are,
but they all usually end on a down note. This one doesn't. Sort of. It sort of doesn't. But yeah, like the whole idea of this story of a girl who feels underappreciated by this man she's engaged to, that they've been together since high school, and they moved away to go to college together and live together and got engaged, and she just feels underappreciated. And the thing I like about this story is kind of the same thing that frustrates me about this story is it's not like, oh, well, we moved to Las Vegas and we're going to college out here and you cheated on me with a stripper. It's not like these outrageous things in a movie. It's like,
you could have fixed this type of deal.
Right. And this girl feels underappreciated. And like, this is the part, it's very realistic. It's like, you don't say you love me anymore, really. Yeah. And like, it's just, it's real. Take it for granted of it's, yeah, it's like, realistic shit that people feel. But at the same time, with a little bit of communication, all of this could have been cleared up. Just, and again, just like real life.
Communication and an open mind and a clear head too. Yeah, like, they didn't really show like his part as far as like why he was like that.
Yeah.
Which I wish they kind of touched on a bit more. Right. Like, why was she feeling that way? You know, like, what did he do? Like, as far as I know, we didn't.
Not really.
Other than being felt unappreciated and things like that. Like, I felt like, I guess that would be kind of me, like, my little nitpick of the movie.
Right.
Or maybe almost.
You kind of, they kind of hammer home, like, that he's kind of being an asshole. He's kind of being an asshole. It's like, well, how is he being an asshole? And then they never tell you how he's being an asshole.
Yeah. Because, like, if they would have showed that or some kind of, like, dialogue of that, like, I would have been under more clear. Yeah.
And like, spoilers, but like, the ending of this movie isn't they hash it out and get back together and they get married at the end of the credits.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't like that.
It's not like that. It's very realistic.
It's them trying to rebuild what they had and trying to
They have it out, they have a discussion, they figure it out, and they're feeling it out to see if it's gonna work or not. Like, it's, again, it's not like the Hollywood happy ending where, you know, it ends with her throwing the bouquet and fucking doves and credits. It's, you know, it's a little bit more realistic. And I think that's something we've always said we like about Kevin's writing in those early movies is that it felt realistic.
Grounded.
Yeah. And there's some of this movie where I'm like, Jeff Anderson really write this? Or did Kevin write some of this? Or do people who come from New Jersey just all have this same tone to their writing?
I mean, he got sole ownership of it. It's his,
it's
his name.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's just kind of weird. Like that, like, again, I'll bring it up because I kind of mentioned this to you over Voxer throughout the week. And I was like, there's that scene in the bar where Trevor Furman's character Biscuit goes on this whole fucking soliloquy of how much better life would be if dudes just married dudes. We don't have to be gay. We could just get married because it would be so much easier.
Or be gay. Who cares?
Or be gay. Who cares? And it's funny because I was telling you, like, I don't know, a few months ago, like right around Halloween-ish. So by the time comes out, this is going to be like way older than that. But around Halloween-ish of 2022, we go to my buddy Jay's house every Friday, and Rick comes by for the parties and stuff every once in a while. And it's a really tight-knit group of people. And now we're all around 40. All of us are married and all of that. And we were joking about how all the men in the friend group are going to divorce the women, and we're all going to move together and live on a compound in Utah where nobody can bother us, because how much better would it be? And then I was watching Now You Know, and Trevor Furman basically has this entire fucking arc. And I'm like, holy shit, did I really subconsciously pull that from this movie? Or is, and it's not an original thought. It's a funny joke that's been around for a long time. But yeah, it was just really funny to watch it and be like, holy shit, we just had the same conversation at Jay's house drinking, and then all debating on who gets custody of Jay. But yeah, so I really, and again, it's one of the, it's a movie that comes across as very realistic and very grounded. Even to the freaking flip at the end where with Jeff Anderson and the Marty character, and it's like, oh, okay.
You know, going back to what you were talking about and like having the whole like commune of that, it just threw me into like this 80s like movie of yes, you guys are all over here, but all the wives and girlfriends are on the other side of the lake.
Yeah, yeah. All talking shit about each other.
You two just have these wars. Yeah. Sorry, that just like turned into a movie for me there.
Yeah, write that. That's good. Write that.
But yeah, one of the things too is like this was one movie that stayed with me after I watched it.
Yeah,
like I just kept like, oh, there's that too. That's why like I'm slowly kind of bringing everything up too, because like with the ending, like a lot of that started just like slowly digesting in my head and started dissecting it. When you say this is a Rick Astrick movie, it is. Dude, I almost did the same thing. I was about to rate it right now.
like a 78.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks that it's, you know, not anywhere for other people to see.
Yeah, like you can find copies of it on Amazon occasionally, but it just had a limited production. Justice
doesn't like throw it on YouTube or something.
I don't know if he has distribution rights.
Oh, is that
to it? I don't know. I don't know if the company that they did distribution for the DVD with retained the rights or whatever. Who knows? But yeah, that's something I should have looked into actually, but. Oh. You know, I didn't.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. Other than that small thing, or big small thing about more story about that guy. Like, for the most part, like I said, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a typical Hollywood ending. You know, like, it was something that was a real grounded, like, relationship that could have used a little bit more information as far as the guy side, but like I think, like at the same time, like you had these Rashida Jones, you know,
that last scene in the kitchen with Jeremy Sisto and Rashida Jones,
yeah, that was good.
Off the fucking charts. And it's funny because earlier in the movie, there's a scene with the Rashida Jones character and her best friend character, Marty, I can't remember the actress's name right now, where does not feel as polished or. Like, it feels like people delivering lines early on in the movie. And it's crazy to see how far Rashida Jones has come in the last 20 years as an actress. But at the same time, of course, you better get better at your craft if it's going to be 20 years, right? But yeah, the first couple of scenes with her felt really, I wouldn't even say forced. It felt like somebody reading lines. But as the movie went on, both her and the actress that plays Marty got way better chemistry together. The stuff with Jeremy Sisto and Rashida Jones got way better chemistry going as the movie went on. And yeah, that last conversation about why the wedding was called off in her kitchen is so freaking good. That's something that I've always thought Jeremy Sisto was good at, is and Jeff Anderson did a great job of capturing it. His facial responses, like the reaction shots to things she's saying, and like his facial expressions are so emotive, and like you feel what he's feeling. He's really good, and he's all the time. He's really good in this, and Rashida Jones is. And I was telling you earlier, I was like, every time she would come on screen, all I could think of, man, Rashida Jones is so pretty, like. And like nothing like, oh, she's so hot, like nothing like that. Just seeing her, it's like, man, that woman, that's a
beautiful human.
That is a pretty woman right there, man. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. But yeah.
I didn't hear about Rashida Jones until The Office, of course.
Right.
That's
a few years later.
That's a few years later. I think it was 07 where, yeah, because the show came out, I think, 04 or 05.
Okay.
And then I think her character didn't come out until 07.
All right.
When Jim left Scranton.
Oh. I'm not an Office guy, so I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I could be wrong on the date, but
yeah.
Everybody knows that watches The Office.
Everybody except me.
Except you. But yeah, like it's good. It had me thinking.
Let's talk about some of like the B story in this movie of them rearranging the furniture in people's houses, like breaking and entering.
But not stealing anything.
They would just move pictures or rearrange furniture because a friend of theirs from high school has a security business, but they live in the suburbs of New Jersey where there's no crime. So there's no point of having security systems. So they are tasked with scare people. So they don't steal. And they're like, well, we don't want to steal anything. So what can we do? They rearrange furniture and hang pictures differently and make them all stupid. And they do this three times in the movie.
Yeah.
One time is you see the entire thing and it's really funny. And then the second time you don't see it, you just kind of hear it happen. And then the third time they get fucking shot at. and so the third time the Jeremy Sisto character, Jeremy, is with them and he goes with them to have some fun because he's down about his wedding being called off and he does this and that. And him getting grazed by a fucking stray bullet is what the revelation. I need to go talk to her. And that's what is like the catalyst for it. And
yep.
At first you think this little B story is just like a fun way to break up the dramatic parts of the story.
Yeah.
Because it's comedy. It's just played for comedy. But then he does a great job of, again, bringing it around and making that the come to Jesus moment, so to speak, where he's like, I need to go fucking figure this shit out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, life is precious. I need to get this shit fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of the other stories is with Jeff's character, which was a reveal at the end where he was dating.
Hooking up with Rashida Jones's
friend. Yeah.
This could go poorly. I'm taking a drink of hot tea, guys.
And then, yeah, he basically hooks up with her, and then her friend finds out that she's pregnant with Jeff's kid. And then Jeff doesn't know that. I say Jeff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His character doesn't know until the end, you know, towards the end of the movie.
Right.
That was something I actually didn't see coming.
I think. I forgot about, again, so I was telling you earlier that I watched this movie like in 2006, 2007 when I first had Netflix and that was one of the first movies I rented from Netflix was this movie and we watched it and we really liked it. But, you know, that's been 16, 17 years or whatever at this point, right? And I just remember thinking that Trevor Furman and Jeff Anderson were like the leads. I had completely forgotten about the actual story of the movie, because for me, the first time I watched it, the story for me was the stuff with Biscuit and Jeff Anderson's character. And, you know, how I remembered him being the baby's daddy or whatever. I remembered that. And I just, for some reason, I remembered that being the main story, and I forgot about Rashida Jones and Jeremy Sisto. But watching it back this time, I was like, oh, shit. It's all the frame of mind you're in when you watch movies, too. Because we had just seen Clerks 2. I had just seen Clerks 2. And I found out that Jeff Anderson had written and directed a movie probably at that Comic-Con, probably in that Q&A with Kevin Smith after we saw Clerks 2. Because I think someone asked about Trevor and where he found him. And he said, Jeff's movie. Now, you know, if you haven't seen it, go get it. It's really good. And that's what I did when I got home. I immediately rented it and watched it. And so my mindset at that point was like, oh, I want to see how good Jeff Anderson is as a writer, director, and actor in this movie. And not completely blocked out the main story, but that was secondary to me. And then knowing that the kid that played Elias was also in this, I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to focus on. But that little B story about the friend who finds out she's pregnant and like she goes... And she goes, who is he? And she goes, it's nobody you know. He's a business owner. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, that's right. It's fucking Jeff Anderson. Haha, it's funny, a business owner. Because he owns a landscaping company. Yeah, with him and Biscuit, who runs over a fucking dog with a lawnmower in this movie.
I didn't like that. I did not.
You don't see it.
You don't see it, but I didn't like that.
They talk about it.
I think it would have been funnier if they didn't run over it.
Yeah.
Like if it because it was alluded to, I'm like,
yeah.
And then I almost thought like that wasn't gonna happen too.
Uh-huh.
Because like, oh, they're trying to build tension, but nope, it happens.
But I hate any kind of like violence against animals in movies. But at the same time, you gotta give them some credit in 2002 for just saying fuck it. We'll have them hit the dog.
Yeah. You got away with a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I really thought was funny in this movie is that when they get back into Jersey and Rashida Jones' character and the friend Marty go out, they go to a lesbian bar because they just don't want to be harassed or hassled by men. And I thought the funniest thing was that as soon as you're not going to run in to Jeremy here or any of his friends. They won't come in here. It'll be fine. No one will bother you. And as they're walking in, there's a woman sitting at a table giving Rashida Jones like fucking lewd gestures and giving her the eyes. And it's, I thought it was really funny that it was like, look, man, if you're a hot girl, no matter where you go, you're gonna get hassled, but you shouldn't be. And I thought it was really funny in the way they handled it when she goes, what she say, like, put your tongue back in your mouth. She's with me, asshole.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool the way they handled that. Cause like, you know, it could have been very easy to just be like
cliche about it.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But they were cliche about it in a way you wouldn't expect, which I thought was pretty funny. And then they end up sitting down having a heart to heart with a bunch of lesbians and gay men in this bar. And that's when you kind of hear her side of the story for the first time. And yeah, and I'm going to go back to what you said earlier and really fucking double down and agree with you. You hear her side of the story so many times, but you never hear his side of the story at all. Yeah. Like nothing. And
I think Jeff said in the beginning too, like if there was like one thing he could change.
Yeah.
He did say there was something he would change, but he didn't actually say what it was.
Right. Yeah.
I bet it has to be that.
Because like and to be honest, and as realistic as this situation is, it comes off as like this shitty girl test bullshit. Like, oh, I'll see if he really cares and call off the wedding and see what he does. It's like, how about you sit down like a fucking adult and have a conversation about what you're feeling instead of fucking throwing hurdles in front of people? That's the worst way to deal with it. But again, Rashida Jones is so pretty and so endearing in this movie that you kind of like give her a pass. And I think that's kind of the thing, that she keeps getting a pass from people, like her friends or her family or even his friends and family. Like she keeps getting the pass, like, oh, he looks, there's no way she did anything. It must have been him. And I think that's kind of the underneath story, is like the way he's judged and he has no idea why, and he doesn't feel like he did anything wrong, and we never hear what he did or didn't do. So I'm gonna double down on that with you, and I think that it would have been nice to get a little bit more clarification or a little bit more
because that scene could have been even more impactful.
Yeah, that end scene. Yeah.
It could have been even more impactful if we kind of knew. Because then it could have gotten even more dirtier and, you know, really listen to both sides of the stories and then hash it out. Because that's really what it takes for a relationship to work.
Yeah.
Is communication between the two to fix what's going on. Because if it's just one sided like that, and any of the sides of the person is feeling unappreciated, let them know. And if they have let the person know, you know, and they're not doing anything about it, then yeah, it's justified for her to fucking move on, because fuck that guy if he's not gonna try to, or woman, girl,
or other way, whatever it may be,
whoever it may be, because you know you tried but they didn't do shit, so fuck them, leave.
Yep. So yeah, if they would have fleshed it out a little bit more, that'd
be it would have been a little bit,
one of the other funny B stories of it is the stuff with the little brother, with Marty and the little brother.
Dude, that shit, man.
Do you think that could be made now?
No.
Exactly like that.
I mean, it probably could, but it'd get a lot of like.
It was. I don't know, man. It was. I liked, given the time, it was like a little bit of throwback to like, and it's not gross, but it's like that sort of gross. Something about Mary humor, or if you want to go back further, like Porky's. But it's, again, it's very subtle. It's not like, you know, as overt as those movies. It's the idea of that. And I think that's what kind of makes it a little bit more disturbing, is it's kind of like low key and not way over the top. But yeah, so the brother is like 12 or 13 years old or whatever. And Rashida Jones is the older sister, and she constantly makes fun of him for masturbating all the time. And then he's obsessed with the best friend, Marty. She's a really pretty woman, obviously. And she knows it, so she messes with him. And she messes with him throughout the movie in like in really funny ways, but also very disturbing ways. But really funny ways.
Yeah. Growing up, my older sister, we weren't in high school at the same time. Like when I entered high school, she was already in college.
Right.
But she had this friend who I had the massive crush on. Massive crush on. And
that's why you don't like this. This is a little too close to home for you.
No, I didn't get anything far like that. It kind of reminded me about the, like, you know, when you're a kid, like it's all like you can think about.
Everything's really extra when you're a kid.
Yeah.
When you're that age. Yeah. That's funny.
Kind of reminded me of her. I was like, I haven't thought about her in a long time.
Look at this movie bringing back memories. But yeah, really funny stuff, man. I think, again, and as the movie goes on, the actress that plays Marty feels like she gets more comfortable playing off of Rashida Jones. And like, they get more comfortable.
Yeah, the friend was great.
The friend was
a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Like overall, like I've been like, it was good. It was a thinker. Like it made me think afterwards.
I want to end up going back and listening to the commentary because there's a commentary track on there.
I didn't listen to it.
Yeah, I haven't yet. I don't think I did back in the day, but yeah, I'll let you borrow it again if you want to check out the commentary. But yeah, I really enjoy that movie, man. Like I like seeing stuff like that. Like I like seeing writers or directors or actors in their infancy. Like there's a lot, like I said, Rashida Jones is very new here. This is Jeff Anderson's first movie he's written and directed, and he's also starring in it. And this is 2006. So at this point, all he's been in is Clerks as a lead. He was in a very small part in Amy, a very small part in Dogma.
Oh, that's right.
And then a lead again in Clerks 2. So like at this point, I think he's in Vulgar. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
I haven't seen that. So at this point, he's done like four or five things, and only two of them really had any meat on the bone. And the other two were just very small parts. So, you know, Kevin could give him a paycheck, basically. And yeah, and like he does a really good job of carrying this movie without carrying the movie. Because I think if you go by screen time, I think him and Jeremy Sisto have the same amount of screen time when Jeremy is supposed to be the lead carrying the movie. But Jeff Anderson has got just as much screen time and does just as good of a job of progressing the story and moving things forward.
Yeah, he was uncredited in Vulgar.
Okay.
Yeah, Clerks.
Yeah, that's all he had done, man.
Like the Smith movies, the short, Flying Car, of course.
Yeah. But that came after this, didn't it? Flying Car?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just really cool to see actors and actresses or writers and directors kind of like,
I love learning on the job. Movies.
Yeah, learning on the job.
Yeah. Someone give me like their first film, I'll watch it.
Like, yeah, for sure, man. Like, I love that stuff. Like shit, man. Like the first thing we saw of Ryan's was his Why the Last Man short.
Yeah.
That's like a half hour long that is really good. And, you know, then we saw like a couple other shorts he did that were very comedic and stuff like that. Then we saw the feature he made. Seeing Dan Trachtenberg's short about Portal
too, yeah.
Which was really, really good. And then
10 Cloverfield Lane was
he's gone on to do big fucking movies, man.
Well, first big Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I watched Prey. His that's his Dan Trachtenberg.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you watch that?
I haven't seen it yet. No, I need to watch it, and we'll talk about it. We'll do an episode about it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of biased when it comes to him.
Yeah,
but,
for sure. Like, I want to love it. Yeah. But yeah, man, I really enjoy this movie. And like you said earlier, and I'm going to echo what you said earlier too, it's a shame that Jeff Anderson got dicked around by Hollywood the way he felt like he did and didn't make more movies. Because I would like to see what stories that guy has to tell us, you know?
Yeah. I just hope wherever you are, Jeff, I hope you're happy. I hope you're enjoying your life.
Yeah, because he doesn't.
That sounded very threatening. That was not threatening.
Some fucking music.
I hope you're enjoying your life.
Simpson shifty eye dog. Yeah. Yeah, because he's not on social media. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He doesn't really do conventions. He doesn't do any of that.
He only did it for the last Clerks movie.
He
only does for the promos.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, even if that dude just decided he wanted to write a book, like I'd like to see what kind of stories he has to tell us. Because this one was pretty good, man.
Yeah. That's gonna be?
Yeah, that'll be it for this episode, man.
Shit, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it. We did a movie review. Fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks again, everyone, for catching us here. Go check out the movie. You have to buy it though. on physical media. Physical media. Other than that, thanks for joining the show. Be sure to follow us on every socials, all the stuff are down below. And subscribe if you want to see more. We put out these things every other week, and as far as that goes, we do have the thank
music provided by Nigel Bravo, aka Stoke Crow Comedy. It's the sweet music you're hearing right now. Check him out at Stoke Crow Comedy. Anywhere you can type that in and you'll be able to find him. Pro with a K, comedy with a K.
Until next time.
Bye bye. I don't ever want to end it with, and that was something awesome. It's kind of cheesy. Keep this in.
Okay.